God is our refuge. When times of trouble come, when times of displeasure come, no matter what it is, God is our refuge. Let me read just a few verses and then we'll talk about this. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And thank God, you know, we like to have shelter places. A lot of people have basements dug. I don't know. I've never feared tornadoes or anything. I figure if my time comes and the Lord takes me, I'm going on to heaven. My fear is that I would get stuck here on earth and have to repair. And I don't want to do that. Okay, if he's going to take me, do it first class. But he is our refuge. And, you know, all of us from childhood on up, and even as adults, we look for places of refuge when trials and tribulations come, when problems come that we don't know how we're going to handle them or answer them, or we got bills to pay and no money to cover, whatever the case might be, God is our refuge. And the meaning of refuge is shelter, and a shelter or protection from danger and distress. So I don't worry about what the world can do. I don't worry about what the devil can do. When Connie was alive, I didn't even worry about what she could do. I belong to God, amen. And Connie was my wife. She's been gone almost 13 years now. I fear her more now than I did when she was alive. I think she's up there saying, Lord, look at that, look at that. Okay. But the Lord is my refuge, no matter what the circumstances. Again, the meaning of it is shelter, and it's a place of inaccessible to the enemy. A refuge is an inaccessible place. It's like we go in the cave, close the door, and Satan's on the outside. There may not be real bright lights. There may not be real good food to eat, but we're inside the cave. We're safe in the hands of God. And God will make us content with whatever we have, wherever we are, and whatever's going on. So now, refuge, in short, is to be sheltered or to be protected. God is our refuge there in verse 1. He is our shelter, and in God we are inaccessible to Satan. You know, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's not a maybe situation. That's a definite situation. We blame the devil on a lot of things in our life, but the problem is we give in to him.
Right.
You know, he's never going to want the best for any of us. He's never going to want our children to be saved. He's not going to want us to be a good witness to a lost and dying world. But if we resist the devil, All we got to do is say, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, get away from me. How many, I'm not going to ask you, but I've done that over and over. And you know what? The peace of God comes in your heart. And whatever it is that you were fearing just seems to go. Now, I got a pretty bad memory anyway, but God erases the memory of some things like that so that life goes on. God's refuge brings so much to us, and that's what I want to talk about here in Sunday school, the things that the refuge of God brings to us. Number one is in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is a help when we're in trouble. He eases our load when we're in trouble. Remember, he bears our burdens with us. And when we put our burdens upon the Lord, how much lighter it is in our life, how much easier it is when we just say, Lord, here's my problem. You know what it is. You know the beginning. You know the middle. You know the ending. And Lord, just help me to be content and satisfied with whatever you allow. God doesn't give us all the same thing. Don't compare God's work in your life as it is in other people's life. God does for you sometimes some things he's not doing for anybody else in the church. Sometimes he's doing for everybody in the church, but he's not doing it for you. He's got his purpose for doing, for not doing, for allowing or disallowing things to happen in our life. And our position is to grow in the Lord, to learn to accept it. He eases our load, but he does not necessarily remove it. You know, we pray, Lord, take this from me. We want him just come in like, I've got two sheds in my backyard, and about this much space between them, and my little wagon that I pull with my lawnmowers in there, well, not this storm, but the one we had a few days ago, actually blew that thing about 10 or 15 feet out of there. But when we pray, we want God to back the wagon up, load it up, and take it away and leave us free of any burden, free of any thing in our life. And that's not necessarily the case. Tribulation worketh patience. Sometimes tribulation comes to cause us to grow in the Lord. So he does not necessarily remove everything. Psalm 33:20. The Lord is our help. But our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our help and our shield. And think about the armor of God. Ephesians 6:11-15. And I'm not going to go and read all of it, but the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, and all the things. We need to be fully dressed. You know, we don't need to go out in this world with just the helmet of salvation and think, well, everything's going to be fine. No, you put on the breastplate of righteousness, righteous living, and all the other things, shod with the various things, and so on. And when you've got it all on, then you're prepared to go out and to face the world and the things that are going to come. And Jesus is our help. Think about this. There's no protection in running from problems. On the armor in Ephesians chapter 6, there's nothing covers the backside. So when you turn around and run from trouble and you think you're running from Satan, you open yourself up to him to come in and literally tear you apart. You need to face him head on and have the ability to put him in his place and take care of things. We're far exceeding above what Satan is, not in ourselves, but in who we belong to. We've got a Heavenly Father that wants to be our help in the time of trouble. 44:6 Psalm, arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. God wants to be merciful to us. God wants to give us the best. God wants to work us through all the trials and tribulations and heartaches, whatever it might be. Things come. Isn't it amazing how the Christians, even in the midst of absolute tragedy that just breaks your heart, can have the peace of God in their heart and mind through Christ Jesus? And that's what each and every one of us ought to have, that kind of relationship. Psalm 124:8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, is in the name of the Lord. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. At the name of Jesus Christ, Satan falters. He has to turn tail and run. He cannot abide in the presence of the name of Jesus Christ. We may still have some little heartache. We may still have a few problems and things. But with Jesus on our side, we're on the winning side. And we will come through. At the name of Jesus, Satan falters. That's why it is good to sing out loud to ourselves the songs that we hear. And I like to listen to music. I've told you this over and over, that I listen to WYTJ all day long. Music, sermons, and my whole, basically 80% of my awake living is infiltrated with the Word of God and the songs of God. And I don't worry about things. If that tree had fallen on that last night, guess what? My bedroom is on the west side of the house. If it had fallen on my bedroom and smashed it to pieces, you know what? I'd still be here teaching lessons, because I sleep on my couch on the other end of the house. Maybe God's got a purpose in that. All of that tree didn't come down, and there's two others. Since I was in the hospital, I have trouble with vertigo now. And on the bed, as a big old fat man, you try to roll over in bed, and it takes strength to do it. And then in my head, it triggers the vertigo, and boy, all of a sudden goes around. Well, in the bed, I sleep on my couch with my back braced up against the back of the couch. So if I want to roll over, instead of rolling over, I get up, set up, and move my pillow to the other end and just flip-flop in bed. And it takes a whole lot less strength, and it's comfortable. But I'm about to wear my couch out, though, and I may have to get a new one. So anyway, the Lord is our help. Secondly, he's a very present help in trouble. Not only is he a help, Psalm 46:1, but verse 2, therefore will we not fear. We will not fear. The Christian and fear are absolutely diabolically opposed to each other. I hope you don't fear things. Now, use common sense. If I walk out here in the driveway and there's a big bear out there, I'm going to fear. I'm going to turn around and come back in. You know, we got to use common sense. It doesn't mean I'm going to go out and walk across the street or train track when train's coming. That's stupidity. But I'm talking about fearing things of life, things of Satan. We ought not to fear. God is always near, so we need never to fear. Just remember that. Everywhere you go, every step you take, God is with you. Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I tried to read about this Abba, Father, that it means like God, my daddy, a term like that. And I begin to look it up, and there's numerous different things. So I'm not sure what Abba, Father means, except that it has a very special meaning. Abba, Father. We cry, Abba, Father. And so we're not in bondage to fear. If you're in bondage to fear, you're probably not reading your Bible. You're probably not praying. You're probably not faithful to Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I hope you'll get this. I wish people that have fears. Listen, there's comfort and there's strength in the body, the body of Christ. And we encourage one another. We help instruct one another. And if somebody's having little problems, we sort of, you don't want to be like a know-it-all and always have the answer for everybody. But let's face it, some of us have been through some problems that other people have not been through yet. And it's not like, let me tell you, I got the answer to that. But no, but just a kind word. You know, this happened to me one time, and God did this for me, and I come through it okay, and I'm okay right now. Kindness goes a long way. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The reason we have fear is because we don't take advantage of these other things, power, love, and a sound mind. Takes work. We're not just automatically mature Christians because we come to Sunday school and church. I wish people would realize that. It takes work to be a mature, godly, God-honoring Christian. You don't just wake up every morning and have everything put right out before you. You've got to seek the Lord and His way. And you do that in studying the Word of God, spending time in prayer, and spending time alone with the Lord. Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, we're living in drastic days right now. And, you know, since COVID come, I've done a lot of study on Bible history and Baptist history in particular. And boy, when I look back and see what they went through from the 15, after the Reformation, even before the Reformation, there were Baptists. They weren't called Baptists. They were Waldensians and some other names, but they were people that adhered to the Bible doctrine and would not give in. And they were persecuted and shipped from country to country and so on. But after the Reformation and Protestantism, then not only the Catholic Church, but the Protestants became anti-Baptists because they sprinkled their children, infants, and so on. People that are Bible believers have never done that, never allowed it done. You get saved, you get baptized, you join the church, and then you serve God. That's the order in which to do that, and so on. But after the Reformation, then, they became Anabaptists. Anabaptists meant rebaptized and rebaptizers. And boy, it was a war between Protestants and the true Bible believers. But they said, we will not fear what man shall do unto us. Even though they were persecuted, they were hung, they were beheaded, they were burnt at the stake, some were drowned in the pond, but they would not give in, and they didn't fear. Makes me think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. Number three, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts. He is always with us. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? God keeps us as the apple of his eye. And what that means, something very precious. To us today, it'd be like that big golden nugget or something like that that's worth maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars and very precious. Like athletes that get the most valuable player and they got a trophy at home, and some of them have got dozens of trophies, some of them may only have one. But I'll guarantee you that one that's got just that one, that's the apple of his eye. And that's what we are to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us are the apple of his eye, the preciousness of that. And he is always with us. Jude 1:24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now unto him that is able to keep. Do you notice that? You ought to circle the word him. Who's that talking about? Jesus Christ. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He is able. He is able. But we got to put ourselves in a position for him to do what's needed in our life, to do what he has established for our life, and to follow him. He is able. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Same thing again. He, him, I, meaning God. Let God do a work in your life. If things are wrong, it's not God's fault. It's not your spouse's fault. It's not your children's fault. It's not your boss at work his fault. If things are not right in your life and suitable to get up day by day and follow God, the problem is with you. Look in the mirror. That's right. And say, God, what do I need to do? Search me, O God, and know my thought. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And lead me in the way everlasting. God's promise. With us, he's with us no matter what. No matter what comes in our life or anything like that, he's there and he's going to meet the need. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And though the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. When I read this about the waters, made me think of a story. I was probably about 6 years old. And just out this way, going towards Worthington, Is it Highway 57 that goes north to Coal City?
157.
Whatever that road is that goes up to Coal City, you go north, what, a mile or two, and you cross the Eel River. And right there where you cross the Eel River, down over there, now somebody's made a house out of it now, but when I was a kid, that was a cabin. And I don't know if my dad owned it or if he rented it, but we were over there one summer and staying in the cabin. And apparently it had not rained for some time. And the cabin's on the north side, and the Eel River at that point ran east and west, right there beside that cabin. Now here I was, a six-year-old kid, and I could go out in that river and walk across it. And there was no water in there that hardly came up to my waist. It rained that night. Rained hard. The next night, next day, I went out and I didn't step foot in that river.
Right.
It had risen, probably would have been over my head, and the waters were flowing with strength down the river when those waters. But you know, when the waters like that of life come your way, He's with us. I will be with thee. So you step out into the water. There's a song, I can't sing it. Step into the water, walk out a little bit deeper. There's a good Christian quartet, you'd know it if you heard it. They sing that song. I love it. And so on. But step into the water and go a little bit deeper. Don't fear what the water can do, the flow and the height and everything. Because if you're in God's will, you're in God's protection. And then it talks about the burning, when thou walkest through the fire. And this is what made me think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, here were these guys that threw them in. They all burned alive, killed them all. But here was the three children of God in the fiery furnace. And the king looked in and he said, did we not just throw three people in? But I see four walking around. And that fourth one is like the Son of God. I don't know to what extent the king understood that. We understand it perfectly, who the Son of God was and is and always will be. The three children came out of the fire, not a hair singed. John, that wouldn't have bothered you anyway. Okay. Not a hair singed, no smell of smoke, no detrimental effects, and walked out just like they'd been on a picnic. Why? Because they were there with the Son of God. They were there in obedience to God, even though they thought they were probably going to be burnt alive. They were willing to do it. God saw them through it. Now, God always gives the ultimate victory. Be not afraid of their faces, Jeremiah 1:8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. If we know the Lord is our Savior, delivers us. I told you, and I'm going to tell you this story again. I cannot tell you. In my old age, I am getting so stupid. I mow my grass, and sometimes when I'm mowing parallel to the road, and I'm going to make a turn that way, instead of making a curve turn, I'll pull out in the road and make a U-turn. And I cannot tell you how many times it happened to me again this week. That guy drove by and he just looked at me. But I told you last time I spoke about the one that cars started coming from the other direction. So I slowed down and stopped. And about that time, here come a big pickup with a trailer on it and a big boat on the trailer. I came within 2 seconds of being right in front of him. Now, I don't want to be stupid and I don't want to be presumptuous on God. But let's face it, something happened that stopped me, brought that car and other things. So don't fear what man can do and what the world can do. God gives us the ultimate victory in just about everything. Jeremiah 1:19, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. The Lord is going to deliver us from evil. Don't say, oh, this is something I'm just having trouble with cigarettes or whatever might be the problem. I just can't overcome it. No, you can't overcome it. But when you give yourself to God fully and completely and totally, he will blanket out of your mind. He will make it become repulsive to you instead of enticing to you. But you got to present yourself to God to let him do it. Then number 4, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. This is back in Isaiah. He destroys the enemy's weapon. Nothing that's built against the Christian. And boy, there's a lot going on in America right now. And when I say built, I'm not talking about wood and hay and stubble and things like that. I'm talking about ungodly living, pornography, sodomy, and all these things. Satan is building it, but I've got news for him. It's not going to stand. It's not going to last. God is stronger than them, and it will come to an end. Now, I believe that we're living in the end days. Sodom and Gomorrah, I think they had a revival and reestablished, and maybe other countries. And even here in America, we had the Great Enlightenment and everything like that. But it sure appears to me that we're at the end time. People say, I don't believe the Bible. Stupidity. Let me tell you something. The mark of the beast. You know, it's been around ever since it was written in the Bible about the mark of the beast. The forehead and the hands. In Atlanta, Georgia this week, an ATM opened that you can go and put the palm of your hand up, put your forehead up, maybe a fingerprint, whatever. There were 4 things on there that would open that and allow you to withdraw money out of that ATM. How close are we getting to where you've got to have that mark to get money to live on? I've got news for them. They can go ahead and do it. I ain't going to be here. I'll be gone by the time it's in final operation. I know where I'm going to be, and I know who's going to provide my next meal. And I don't have to have the right palm, the right fingerprint, or any other mark. God's going to do it. He destroys the enemy's weapons. And then number 5, Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Exalting God. How many people exalt God today? The average person, if we were to follow you around in a day's time or a week's time, how often would we hear you say, thank you, God, or God is my refuge, God is my help, God is the one that takes care of me? How often would we hear that in anybody's life?
Right.
Now, I'm talking about Christians. We don't expect the unsaved to do that. But the church of God, that ought to be a daily thing in our life. Amen. To exalt our God.
Right.
I will be exalted in the earth. To experience the refuge that I've been talking about, we've got to do some things. Number one, be still. Stop. Look and listen for opportunities to help you to grow. For encouragement. For other friends in the Lord that can be there if you need them. Or that you can be there if they need you. Be still and know. And know, that means to learn. Be in an attitude to learn. Have Christ-centered thoughts. Everything in our life ought to evolve around the Lord Jesus Christ and what we think about Him, what He thinks about us, and so on. Not just the pastor and deacons, but everyone. Boy, if our church, if every one of us in here 24/7 had the thought of Christ on our heart, and what can I do to glorify God and to exalt God? I wear a hat almost all the time everywhere I go. It's got a one way, like on a road, says one way, but up here it says Jesus one way. And you'd be surprised how many comments I get about that hat or how many people stop and look at it. My guess is most of them stop and look at it are Christian people that without saying anything are probably thinking, boy, that's good. I'm glad to see things like that. I want to present Christ in everything I do. No, be in an attitude to learn and be Christ-centered. Be and stay in a place to learn. Where's that? You're in it right now. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Don't you wish that every person that comes here, just one service during the week, would make it a regular habit to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to participate in the things of God. So be in an attitude to learn, be in a place to learn, and be in the book to learn. You know, what's your daily habit? Now, I buy Sullivan paper and Terre Haute paper every day. But I don't read a word in it until after I've had my daily devotions and read at least 3 to 5 chapters a day out of the Word of God. I want everything I do based on a foundation of God's Word, God's Word, God's will. Am I perfect? No, I wish I were. I strive to be, but I'm not. But I'm far better than what I was 10 years, 20 years ago. probably better than I was 2 years ago. Stay in the book. And then remember this. He alone is God and our refuge. God is our refuge. 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. He will be exalted if you're faithful. He should be, and he will be, and he can be exalted in your living, in your mind, in your friends, and virtually every aspect of your living. Will you let him do it? This is only so if you have Christ in your heart for salvation and you've made him the master in your life. Have you given your life fully to Christ? I challenge you today. Brother Townsley is going to be preaching a little bit. Open your heart and mind to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him have his way and his will in your life. And then nothing that the world can do, nothing that Satan can do, can give you any amount of fear and fret. God's presence alone is far better than anything bad that Satan can do. Amen. Father, dismiss us with your blessings. Guide and direct the service to come. May Christ be honored and glorified, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.